The Alpha Sessions.
Afternoon, guys. This is Alpha Sessions. I'm Gigi Harland, and today I have in the studio the amazing Lexi Berg. Welcome.
Hello.
How are you doing today?
Very well, thank you. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. Thanks for coming out to see us.
Thank you.
You're going to play us some of your music, which I'm really, really excited for. But I just wanted to maybe start off just for our listeners, just to tell us how you ventured into songwriting and into music in general, because as I understand it, you're from a fairly creative household.
Yes. I think so.
Yeah?
I mean, I come from a household of academics, actually. So.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, so a lot of brilliant minds. And my mother is an amazing pianist.
Yeah.
And on her side, there were a lot of artists and things. But in terms of music, I feel like I'm the first to explore it as a career for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And definitely the first to go fully into music as a lifestyle.
Yeah, for sure. Did you find that you were nurtured a lot in the sense that, like, did you have a lot of encouragement, or was it fairly kind of your family were supportive of everything, or did you kind of have to fight for it a little bit?
I think in the beginning, of course, they were supportive of it because I was small, and they gave me lessons. They took me to my piano lessons. They took me to my recitals. They found me my first vocal coach.
Mm-hmm.
And they could see how the lights in my eyes went on as soon as I was on stage.
Yeah.
But as a career, I think I've definitely had to push for it.
Yeah.
I still have to push for it.
Yeah.
And explain why it's so important. And they know how much it means to me, and they can see, you know, how much I love being on stage, as much as I loved being on stage when I was little.
Yeah, for sure. I can imagine, because there's kind of parallels between the two, right? Because I imagine with academia, there's a lot of rigor and a lot of discipline that's required. But maybe in that route of things, there's a bit more of a blueprint for steps 1, 2, 3, and then eventually you're going to get to this level. Whereas in music, the only blueprint you have really is following people that you're inspired by.
Exactly.
The rest of it is just like, good luck, kid. Like that kind
exactly
of thing.
Exactly that.
Yeah.
I mean, you're completely right.
Yeah.
There's nobody there to tell you how to do things. Often the industry separates you from other musicians.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And there's this idea that we're competing constantly with each other, so we don't share information on how to get places. We often don't help each other out.
Yeah, sure.
And my parents could see this industry where a lot of people are, you know, not treated well, not paid enough. Why wouldn't I go into something where, exactly as you said, if you achieve this, you can get to the next level, and it's stable, and there is an A to Z, and so much in between that as well.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful world, the world of academia, and I wish in some ways I had no other passions in life and I could focus on that, because I would have done it.
Yeah.
But music was just my whole soul.
Yeah.
And I couldn't, you know, I couldn't be 70 years old in bed.
Yeah.
Wondering what if.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know.
That's a really tough position to be in. I always think that sometimes whenever I'm getting in my head about, like, you know, social media metrics, or like, what do other people think, or is this good enough, or whatever, I just sit and think, like, I don't want to get to a place where there's, you know, no more time left and I still have all these songs in me. So I feel like everyone I speak to, like, relates to that on some level.
100%. And also, not only that, but it's a joy.
Mm,
you know,
totally.
I find joy in writing. I find joy in meeting people like you. I find joy when people hear my songs and the lyrics speak to them. There's nothing as powerful as music, I think.
Yeah.
You know, to change someone's mind, to make them feel things that they couldn't feel.
It's a very visceral communicator, I feel like. I love films and I love like photography and I love all different art forms. But I never, if I listen to a piece of music, there's nothing that is so efficient as just getting me somewhere really quickly.
100%. Again, I keep saying 100%, but you're so right. Also, if you took away the music and the sound of a movie.
Yeah, totally.
Think how much less you would feel. I mean,
yeah.
I cry in adverts, not because the film is good, but because the piece of music written behind it is so fantastic.
Soundtrack. Did that happen in lockdown? Wasn't there, because, you know, there was a real, like, so many people had such a, I mean, we all had a difficult time in lockdown, but in terms of the creative industries, I know so many people that left the industry and are now, like, driving Uber or doing something else because they just couldn't sustain staying in the industry, and there was not a lot of funding given to people like in terms of government support and things. Like, there were not many people that qualified for the scheme that they had, and someone did a campaign which is pretty much exactly that. They had like Star Wars and something else, like filmed iconic scenes of it, and then just extracted all the audio apart from people like breathing and speaking. And it was like, this is why you need to make sure you protect like your creative industries and things. But just to get back to you, because that's what we're here to talk about.
Yeah.
So you grew up in Sweden on a houseboat.
Yes.
Amazing. I mean, sounds very like bohemian and romantic. Was that like the reality of it? Or,
I mean, thinking back to it, it probably was bohemian and romantic. For me, it was normal.
Yeah, sure.
And also, not even normal, but just odd. But because Swedes have such a relationship to the ocean, and because Stockholm, the capital city, is just made up of loads of islands, it didn't seem so strange at the time. Okay. And it was really fun.
Yeah.
You know, it was really fun.
Yeah. I mean, I was like...
Until it sank.
Yeah. What? Are you serious?
Yeah, it sank. It started sinking because in Sweden, obviously the water freezes.
Right.
And so the boat has to be consistently heated up, and if you leave it for too long, the ice can start chipping away at it, and it basically starts sinking and ruined a lot of things. But anyway,
wow, was that after you left for, like, when did you come back to London?
It was after I left. It wasn't whilst we were on it.
Okay, oh my god. So how old were you when you came to London and kind of joined the music scene here?
I was 15.
Okay. Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
What was that like coming over as a teenager?
It was confusing.
Yeah.
I think Sweden, I'm so privileged to have grown up in Sweden, where there really wasn't the same distinctions between people and groups of people as there are here.
Right.
And that's probably because it's very homogenous, and there's a lot of, at the time, you know, there was quite a, homogenous population there. And
yeah.
But here, you know, you immediately come in and there's like a huge class thing here, huge distinction between where you live, where you go to school.
Yeah.
In Sweden, everything's free for a kid.
Yeah.
So you don't notice. And again, I'm talking about growing up a while ago. Things obviously have changed over the last couple of years. But, you know, you didn't grow up thinking that you had less because the government never let you. You feel like that.
Yeah.
So I think coming here, I felt very much thrown into the deep end of a society that I really didn't understand.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's, I mean, there's so many intense things going on as a 15-year-old anyway. So just to have a culture shock thrown into the mix and be pursuing a career that is also, there's no blueprint for, and it's definitely a bit of a rodeo.
Yeah.
I
mean, I was at school, obviously, not studying music at the time.
Yeah.
So it wasn't like I came here for the career.
What were you at school for?
Just, you know, normal school, like, 15,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so it wasn't, you didn't go to like a music school?
No music school or anything. But I was doing music on the side. And I think one of the biggest things that I found was how many people are there to kind of use you, even when you're really young. And that's what I really came into contact with when I was in London in the beginning. I met a lot of kind of wheeler, dealer, swindler vibes. Have you?
Yeah, had very much a similar situation. Yeah, I've been fairly fortunate. I've heard of a lot worse stories, but yeah. I've definitely come across people who, especially if you're young and impressionable and you don't fully know who you are yet, which is likely if you're a teenager, you have to just hope you have good people around you to just kind of be like, might want to rethink that decision, 100%. Or just don't make any rushed decisions, just like hang fire a little bit.
And that's what's so amazing right now about ChatGPT. And obviously you have to have the brain to think, okay, I'm going to put this into ChatGPT.
Yeah.
But I feel so lucky that we have that tool now, because so many times people would come up with ideas or contracts or tell me that this is how the music industry does it. And I obviously knew nothing.
Yeah.
And I would nearly go with them or sign something with them.
Yeah.
Not realizing that it was wrong.
Yeah, that you're getting exploited, basically. Yeah. What was it that stopped you? Did you have someone advised you?
No.
Just all hunch.
All hunch and always ran away. It always made me run away. I think that this is the biggest thing with me, is like I constantly run when there was a problem. Growing up, when there was a problem within the music industry, I would just run. I would just stop for a bit.
Like in the industry as a whole, or just if there was something going on with you and like your career, you'd just kind of be like, I need to dip.
No, for me, if something happened which made my gut say, this is weird, this is uncomfortable, right, I would just stop speaking to that person.
Wow.
Yeah, and then I'd find out later that obviously I was completely right, but it would really put a spanner in the works of, in terms of moving forward in the music industry.
I think that shows, as much as I'm sure it was really irritating and disheartening when it happened, I think the fact that not only you had that relationship to your intuition, but you also followed it through, to me, that kind of suggests a person that is an artist through and through. In many ways, like, makes total sense to me why you are the artist that you are, because you have to be able to connect to that and know yourself and also be willing to take the consequences for following through on it. And especially at that age, I think that's really impressive.
Well, what happened with you?
With my situation?
Yeah.
So I've been writing for other people for a while.
Yeah.
And I kind of, different things, like different dance projects or like writing for pitch and working with like a few producers. And I worked with some amazing collaborators. But I kind of got picked up at quite a young age. I was 17, working with like a major label, like management company. And they were great, but they had a very set idea of, I think, what they wanted me to do and what they wanted me to sound like. It was in the era where Adele was just starting to blow up, and they wanted me very much to do these ballads.
Really?
Because I have that kind of voice. But I kind of, my writing was a little bit different, and it, you know, I was so young, I definitely was not writing the way that I am now. So I understand why I needed guidance, but there are so many people in your ear telling you what they expect of you, what they think you are. And I didn't have the depth of knowledge at that point to know who I was, really. So I ended up, I've had a very long, windy road through loads of different lefts and rights and working with people, not working with people. And I'm just now at 32 at a point where I feel really strong, like really, I feel so physically connected to what I'm doing that I really don't care what anyone would say about it. It's just, I feel like this is, like, who am I to get in the way of what wants to, like, go through me, rather than let's just listen to what everybody else wants.
Yeah.
But it, like, if I'd have had that at a younger age, I mean, who knows, like, how things would have gone. But then you can't live in what if.
But also, but this is the thing. It's not like things went completely differently for me. It went exactly the same as you.
True.
But my big thing was, it wasn't that I had, I knew what I didn't want.
Right.
But I did not know what I wanted. And I had no clear vision.
Right.
Yeah. And that was what stopped me from really making any serious steps in the beginning of my career. And especially, I remember, so the first time I was offered a deal was when I was 12.
Wow, yeah.
And it was by the guys who worked with Swedish Eurovision, and they took me to Britney Spears' record studio outside of Stockholm. And I was 12, turning 13.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
it's a lot of shiny things for
a lot of shiny things. Went yeah. there, and I sang this song that was about love, and they wanted me to sing it. And I said, "But I didn't write this song."
Mm-hmm.
And they said, "Well, that's what pop stars do. They sing other people's songs." And I said, "Well, I've never been in love, so how am I supposed to sing this song?"
Yeah.
And I ended up not taking the deal because I didn't want to take it.
Mm-hmm.
But that's kind of been the way, every single step of the way, it's been, I've gotten really close to something, and then right before it happens, I back off.
Yeah.
Or something happens, or it's not, doesn't feel right. And so it's constantly a journey of trying to figure out what I really want and what I should be doing, like what the universe kind of wants me to be doing.
Mm, totally.
What feels right. And so it's really interesting to hear your story, because it's you know, kind of running alongside of it, just you were doing all the things,
mm-hmm.
whilst I wasn't. I was going so close to it and then saying no. Remember, I was 17 and nearly got signed. They wanted me to do like house music, you know, when you...
Oh, yeah.
What's your featuring
like
stuff?
They all want you to do again, house music.
I just didn't. I couldn't do it. I loved house music, but just not for me at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I was just really scared. I think also, I always had a humongous... Like I had a big problem with my image of myself,
right?
And people wanting me to be something, and me not knowing who that was.
Yeah.
And not being able to say, no, I don't want this, but I am this person.
Yeah, but I do want this. You kind of have one half of the equation. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, I don't want this. And that's what happened later when I was at Warner,
mm-hmm.
was I said, okay, first time ever, I'm going to ignore what I don't really want. I'm going to do everything that they tell me to do. It's Warner Music.
Yeah.
And when I did everything that they told me to do, it still didn't work the way that they wanted it to work, obviously.
Right.
Because it wasn't coming from me, and it wasn't coming from a real understanding of what do I want, what connects my music to people,
mm-hmm.
and what makes me unique.
Yeah.
Like, what makes my artist project unique?
Yeah.
And what are my strengths?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
They went so towards a mold.
Yeah. Like broad strokes.
Yeah.
What do we think? Also, like,
let's brand
with
her like this.
What's cool at the moment, or what's already working that we can get you like the closest to as well.
There's, exactly.
There's so many things that just become about other people's perception.
Yeah.
I can imagine, like, I mean, I know from experience as well, it's a very like alienating feeling. But which beautifully brings me to the song that you're just about to play for us. And I want to come back to this in a second. But the song you're going to play for us is Bermuda Triangle. Do you want to tell us anything about that song before you play it?
I wrote this song with two of my favorite people in the world and two people who believed in me from very early on.
Mm.
And they're called Jim Elliott and Jimmy Hogarth.
Mm-hmm.
Jim and Jim.
Two Jims.
Yeah. Double Jim. Anyway, we had the most magical time writing songs together, and I basically described how I sometimes walk around the streets in London,
mm-hmm.
and I just think, how the hell did I get here? You know? And it's not even how did I get here, but how did we as people get to this place?
Ah, okay.
It's so many different things. And obviously, I want the listener to be able to put whatever lyric into, you know, their experience of life. And I want it to... But it's basically about feeling like an outsider. Feeling like you don't belong. Feeling like you have something that's different from other people that people don't understand.
Mm, okay.
And look, and so describing this planet, Bermuda Triangle is this mysterious place where everything disappears.
Yeah.
Well, this is a, I'm describing walking around this planet and looking around and not understanding the language that people are using, not understanding the buildings that they're building, not feeling like
it's... Feeling detached, it sounds like. Detached from kind of the environment and the people around you.
Yeah. It actually also was, I remember when I wrote it, I also felt really inspired by Rocket Man.
Oh, okay.
Have you seen the video?
I have seen the film, yeah.
The music video of the Syrian refugee.
Oh, no. No.
It's so amazing. So they did a competition for when they re-released all of his songs.
Mm-hmm.
And a Syrian refugee made a cartoon for Rocket Man about this refugee who walks through London, and he talks about all the words come alive in a different way.
You see it through a completely different lens, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And I always had that really struck a chord in me.
Is it on YouTube? Can anyone just find it on YouTube?
Yeah, anyone can find it anywhere.
I'm going to have to check that out. I thought you were going to refer to the movie, but it was...
It's just amazing. And I'm not comparing myself to a refugee, but I think that especially in London, it's such a multicultural pot, a melting pot of all of these different people who have come to find something.
Mm. Yeah.
And I think a lot of places are like that.
Yeah.
And even if you're from, you know, a small village in the middle of nowhere and you feel like you want to leave or you feel slightly different from other people, sometimes the world can seem alien to you.
I think there's so many different walks of life, so many different experiences that virtually everybody can relate to feeling like that on one level or another, whether it's like you can feel like an alien in your family of origin sometimes. Or like whether it's the country that you go to, or like the, I don't know, if you're in a culture that is not friendly to like your way of living or whatever, it can feel that way.
And I think also you and I as musicians,
mm-hmm.
we often feel like aliens.
Oh, God, yeah.
We feel like outsiders.
Yep.
We feel unappreciated. We don't understand the world and how it exists in the capacity that it does and how it doesn't reward something like music, which is this incredible universal language and also universally used by people.
Yeah.
How we aren't rewarded for it.
Yeah. I always think of music as, the way I think about it, is it's a public service as much as anything else. It's like, I think there's a real tendency to look at it from a lot of people's perspectives and think that it's an indulgence or like, you know, a hobby that why should you get paid like for doing your hobby? But the way I see it is like if you're you're providing a service.
You try and write a song.
Yeah. But you're also there like, you know, you're there with people like in connecting with people, and so much in the society that we have now, I think we're hyper connected and we're also incredibly disconnected.
Mm.
So if you can just reach across a space through a song and make somebody feel like they're not the only person thinking the way they do or feel the way they do, or you can play a show and have people in a room together sharing an experience, making friends and creating a community, public service to me.
100%. And I always say this, we could easily choose to just write a song, sing it to ourselves in our bedrooms, but instead we choose to go out there to bypass this industry nonsense, to break through our own fears of being seen, because we want other people to hear that music, not because we want that 2 seconds of fame or whatever. It's because we want to connect with people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's the driver to why like most people make music in the first place, I think. But just coming back to the Bermuda Triangle for a second, we're gonna hear that now. This is Lexi Berg with Bermuda Triangle.
Not any planet I know, a language that leaves you alone. light years away from my home. How can I live here? The mountains are turned upside down. Milky Way crumbs on the ground. Happy songs just bring me down. I look for the exit, the stairs to the roof. Pilot to sail the ship back to you. When will I get it? I'll never belong. When will this gravity stop? Standing out on my own. Am I invisible? Planes flying overhead. Been here. The weeks have along with the years. Time is a construct of fear, and I'm still the alien here. I look for the exit, the stairs to the roof, pilot to sail the ship back to you.
Alpha Sessions.
What a song. I love that track so much. I've heard the recorded version that's out on Spotify, and it was, there's a lot of your music that does this for me anyway, just because there's emotion dripping from every note that you sing.
Aww.
But it, the lyrics in this really transported me somewhere, and I love that about it. It's the same with a lot of your music. There's another track that you're going to play for us called Lonely Satellite. Do you have anything that you want to say about the kernel of where this came from, or
I think it's exactly what we've been talking about, which is this drive to connect to people.
Mm-hmm.
I have always, again, said that, you know, I said this before, I've always felt like I am slightly different. Like, I'm not very comfortable in my own skin.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I meet other people who feel the same way, or who feel that something's slightly amiss, it's almost like we make each other feel more comfortable.
Yeah, you kind of have this instant kind of understanding. You're like, okay, I kind of understand your, you know, anxieties a little bit.
Yeah.
And you don't, it's not even something that you necessarily have to verbalize, but you just kind of feel it. I mean, listening to the lyrics of the track, online, I kind of got this feeling as well of like almost a monotony of like something that you go through, like day after
wheel.
Day. It's exactly. And then it's, I kind of, to me, it tied really nicely into the Bermuda Triangle lyricism as well, because there's a lyric in it, it's like, beam me up to the sky. Mm. It's just like, you're reaching out to connect to something that is, sounds like it's bigger than you, and it's visceral, and it's free, and it's not in your head.
Yeah.
And it to me, it feels like someone that's reaching for a connection, which is exactly what we were just saying about like why you make music in the first place.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of yelling into the universe saying, you know, why?
Why me?
Why am I here all alone?
Yeah. but I think like maybe everyone, whether you're creative or not, feels that way.
It's 100%.
And this is creatives that verbalize it more.
This was actually inspired by someone who wasn't in the music industry, quite a few people, inspired by people, most people, who wake up in the morning and they're going through the motions that society has given us. Mm. We are told to put makeup on our faces, to look good, to arrive on time for work, to put on that shirt, to iron it. It's just all these weird social constructs. And then we're competing with each other. We're feeling lonely. We're feeling disconnected. And we're all doing this in unison, in tiny little houses next to each other, like 1 meter away from someone who's doing the exact same thing.
Yeah.
And I just like had this visual of like everyone in the city getting up, doing the same thing, drinking our coffee, people screaming on the streets because they're not part of that society. Maybe they're, especially on my street, there's a lot of screaming.
I have that too.
And I was thinking, you know, I do the same thing. Like I'll go on Instagram and I'll start scrolling and I'll think I'm not doing enough. I'm not doing this enough. And what's the meaning of all that stuff? It doesn't mean anything.
Yeah.
And so I remember just going up onto my roof and just seeing, looking up to the sky, thinking I would see some stars. Mm-hmm. And all I could see was just this one little lonely satellite. And I just thought, gosh, isn't it so strange how we are all these lonely satellites trying to navigate our way through this universe when we're all feeling human emotions.
Mm-hmm. And very similarly underneath, I think we, like, obviously our experiences, the specifics vary wildly and we all bring our different kind of baggage and lens that we see things through, but essentially we're all longing for the same thing, but no one really talks about it.
Yeah, we're longing for meaning and connection.
Yeah.
And for a purpose.
Yeah.
And since that song's come out, I have received such amazing real responses from it. You know, people messaging me saying that they've listened to this song through a hard time, or, you know, their mother had a stroke and it's been the way that they've gotten through it, or they're suffering with cancer and they have been using it as a form of connecting.
Yeah.
And from that, we've created a little group of lonely satellites online.
Yeah.
And people really support each other on the group.
Public service. Like, tell me that doesn't deserve support. That is amazing. And, like, I'm so buzzed for you that you've had that as a response, because that's, I don't know, for me anyway, that's always where the best, the most job satisfaction, if you want, like, comes from it.
100%. If it could go alongside, you know, industry recognition, it would be, you know, I would be so happy.
That would be really sweet.
Yeah.
Come on.
This is my song, Lonely Satellite. Running away from home like a lonely satellite. Don't know a way to go. Wanna sail through the night. Where are all my friends? How do we start again? Pollution on my skin. Holding the magic in. Oh.
suits and freshly shaved, painting on my face. Gotta play the A game. Coffee's sinking in, streets are screaming. Another day in the wind, another day I'll never see again.
Alpha Sessions.
Our third track that you're going to play for us is called Fake Love, and I believe it's unreleased.
Yes.
Amazing. Is there anything that you want to say about it before we hear it?
I wrote this song completely on my own.
Okay.
And I wrote this song, well, with a little inspiration from my sister. Mm. She came into my room, and I was in a very low place in my life. And again, I think a lot of people experience that. And we try and fill a void in our life with something.
Yeah, of course.
And sometimes that could be, you know, a bad relationship. It could be takeaway food. It could be movies. I was binge watching movies about love.
Okay, yeah.
And shows about love. I think I watched 4 shows, like full binging 10 episodes at a time.
Yeah.
Shows about love. And I was also eating takeaway and drinking and doing other things that were bad. And and my sister came into the room and she said, you have to write a song. Mm. I said, I can. She said, just write right now. And she like dragged me up onto the piano.
Wow.
And the first line was just like, I'm here again with a bottle of rum. I don't need anyone. And then the whole song came out in one go.
Amazing. I mean, there's, especially with all the like tech we've got and all the dopamine addiction that's available, there's a million different ways to numb out. It sounds like it's interesting that you were watching all films about the same thing. It's kind of like you reaching out kind of as a vicarious connection to
I've never been in love at that point.
Ah, okay.
And I basically was looking for love.
Yeah, you want that experience of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
And, yeah, it came out in one go, and then this was a couple years ago, and then I basically kind of never... I picked it up once in a while, and then now it's really come back.
Yeah.
And now I'm going to release it at some point.
I was going to say, do we have a release date for
it? We don't have a release date, but definitely this year. Amazing. But I'm going to basically try and produce it myself.
Amazing, yes.
So... it's going to take a second.
I love it when I hear people say that. I mean, this is your interview, not mine, but I just finished producing my EP.
Did you?
And honestly, after
where did
having...
you do it?
Just at home.
Really?
Literally in my bedroom.
Yeah.
I just got it as far as I could get it. And then if I got stuck, I just asked my boyfriend because he's amazing at producing. But honestly, after that experience, I'm never not doing that again. Unless... I decide for some reason that I don't want to. It's just given me so much more depth of knowledge about, like, who I am as an artist and what makes me feel things. And it's not filtered through someone else's. So I'm so buzzed that you've had that.
Well, all the records that I released since leaving Warner.
Mm. When did you leave Warner?
2 years ago.
Okay, yeah.
So everything, so Lonely Satellite, Bermuda Triangle, all those songs, I went in... So when I was at Warner, I would filter myself, just like you said.
Yeah.
I would always take into account that these people had more experience than I did.
Right.
And so even though sometimes my gut would say, I don't know if I like this, I would be too shy or something to say it. And
yeah,
there were also things that I just didn't know. Like I didn't know about the mixing and even about levels and all that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And going into this last project, working with Jim Elliot, all I said was, I'm going to say whatever is on my mind and whatever suggestions I have, and please don't...
judge me.
Judge me.
Yeah.
And it was amazing. So it became a co-production.
Yeah.
And because I'd learned so much since then, like about EQing and about drum beats and adding, you know, it's production, you know, if you take away the computer... is basically writing parts.
Yeah, totally.
You know?
And I found like it's language so much of it. Like, did you ever have the thing where you tried to describe a sound in a color to a producer and they were just like, what are you on about? I was talking about this with Alice earlier.
Yeah.
And I was just like, I used to say to producers, I want this guitar to sound more orange or more glowy. And they'd be like, and now I know what they mean is chorus. Like, I want to put chorus on it.
I see.
Or, like, a bit more reverb. But I didn't know that at the time, so I didn't have
the tools.
Yeah, it's like knowing how to speak without knowing how to write it down.
Yeah.
For somebody else.
It's cool that you see in colors like that, too, because I do as well.
Yeah.
But I would always kind of try and make the sound myself.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I used to make songs just with my voice. And I'd be like, whoa. You know? Or,
yeah. Oh, very intuitive.
Yeah.
Really intuitive or like, that way. Yeah. So did you find the recording of these songs with those two, the collaborators, that just gave you total freedom, didn't try and steer you one way or another, which
we literally were totally in tandem.
Amazing.
And I remember for Lonely Satellite, I was like, I've got to say something. And I just like, I feel like if I don't say it, I was like, I want to put bongos in there. And he was like, what do you mean? I was like, I really think we should do a drum circle vibe because I feel like the song has a drum circle feeling.
Yeah.
And it doesn't need to be bongos, but something to make that feeling of a drum circle.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, okay. And we did it. And they're in there.
Oh, amazing.
You know, and I was thinking, guys, I really want drum circle. I want a drum circle. But I was just so nervous to say it because that's random.
Well, that's how you build the confidence in yourself.
Yeah.
Because I had a really similar situation with one of mine. And I could, thankfully, I was working with a producer at the time who was like, okay. Like, you might have had raised eyebrows, but he'll do it.
Yeah.
And he wouldn't, like, there wouldn't be any sort of, like, back and forth about it. And it's like learning to do anything. Like, you build trust in yourself from, like, doing those things and trusting those impulses and that intuition. And then if it works, it works. If it doesn't work, it doesn't mean that you were wrong necessarily. Yeah. It just meant it didn't sound quite like it did in your head.
Yeah.
But that's the more often you do those little steps, gradually you just start to trust yourself more. And then you start to build this picture of like who you are and what you want. And then from there you could go forward. But I'm so buzzed for you that you had that experience. Like, I love it when I hear people saying that they've just like made, I love collaborating with people obviously, but when they've had that experience of just really getting hands-on with the production process.
I was honestly with Jimmy Hogarth, who I worked with at Warner, I was hands-on there too. I was always saying how I felt, but it was always, I didn't have the same critical mind as I do now.
I got you. Yeah.
Yeah. So now I can really piece things together in a different way.
Yeah. Fantastic. Well, we're about to hear Fake Love by Lexi Berg.
I'm here again with a bottle of rum. I don't need anyone. Self-medicate, meditate to push this pain away. I'm here again once again in these sheets on my own. Nobody's home. Drink some more, drown it all. Let the shade stay on. These walls, they spin as I tuck myself in. The lies pile up, thinking this is so flow. I know all I do is binge on. Days by my TV, effortlessly. Now I'm here again, once again. Stuck in the cycle, give anything to break away these walls. They spin as I tuck myself in. Lies pile up, thinking this is so.
Oh, my.
Alpha Sessions.
Thank you so much for playing us your amazing music. That was Fake Love by Lexi Berg. We don't have a release date for it yet, but do you have any gigs coming up if people want to find you, come see you live?
Well, I host a night at Notting Hill Arts Club called Lexi Berg Presents, which you should totally come and perform.
Love to.
I used to do it once a month. And now, because of my schedule, I just can't do it once a month anymore. But it came out of an idea of where musicians should help other musicians and musicians should communicate with other musicians. Mm. And so I started a little jam night in my living room.
Awesome.
Where people showcase songs and people can play on each other's songs. It's kind of So Far Sounds, but with a little bit of a jazzy twist.
Oh, I love that.
And we get the audience to sing. Everyone sings together.
I love it.
And often I have my choir come and join.
Whoa.
It's a super choral. It's wonderful. So I wanted to bring that to a stage, that community vibe.
Yeah.
I think my main mission at the moment is building community wherever I go.
Mm, yeah.
Real connection.
Such a huge thing as a, like, I would say this on a human level in general, but as an artist, because I feel like so much of the time, a lot of the focus is on social media, and you can totally have amazing community on there as well. But the physical feeling of having people having that experience together in a room is so hard to cultivate now. And if you can do that, I feel like it's really, really special. And it's something that people are really hungry for it.
Mm.
And I feel like, just going back to what you were saying earlier about like ChatGPT and AI, I don't know how you feel about this, but I think the gap between kind of, you know, like AI generated or like, I guess, either hyper produced or hyper online presence music, and maybe the slightly more indie, slightly more raw DIY people creating community is going to really grow. And I think you're going to get people who are mad into one side or the other. I don't know, like, where do you see the whole AI picture going in music? Because, like, I'm having so many conversations with people about this at the moment.
So this just reminds me so much, like, when somebody goes on a tangent, of my first ever radio interview where they started asking me about egg freezing suddenly.
Oh, wow.
I just had no idea about it. I have no idea about AI. I literally haven't researched it. The only thing I can tell you is that it's a really helpful tool when it comes to editing videos.
Yeah, true.
It's very helpful in terms of reading legal documents.
Mm-hmm.
I get it to summarize any legal document that I'm about to sign.
Yeah.
Any contract for any sync stuff. I mean, it saves me a lot of money, a lot of effort. I would love to see what else you can use AI for. In terms of making music, obviously it's crap. It's really terrible for us musicians.
Scary.
But I don't think that people just want music that's in the background. I think they want to buy into a story, which is why people like Taylor Swift do so well.
Yeah, of course.
Because they buy into her.
Yeah, the human element is always going to be something. Again,
Taylor Swift could write whatever she wanted.
Yeah.
And people would still love her because she is the brand.
Yeah.
And I think it's, I mean, I was talking to my lawyer about it the other day. He said, you know, people will have one big song and they can't write anything after it. Nobody will buy any music because people aren't buying. They love the song. So I think AI might make it slightly harder and dilute those people. But if you're building a real career and you're building a community and you're trying to create real connection with people, then I don't think AI is anything to worry about. I actually think it might help you.
No, it's nice to hear a positive outlook, because I can kind of get quite anxious about it a lot of the time. But I agree. I think there'll
positivity.
I think the human element of it, though, like, it's that thing that we keep coming back to, which is that theme of connection. And people are always, I think, going to want to connect to both each other and, I mean, it depends if you're that way inclined, but like something that is just universal and that feels, I guess, bigger than all of us. Or I hope so. I hope that we will.
I don't know. I think when I am looking for music for the background of a drinks party, I put on Spotify Radio.
Oh, yeah.
I find a song that I like and I put on Spotify Radio. Mm. Could some of those songs be AI? Probably.
For sure.
But what are the songs that I remember the names of, that I remember the artists of, that yeah. I find out their story, that hit me so hard that I have to listen to them until I destroy the song, which is what I do with every piece of music yeah. that I like?
Wear that out. Yeah.
That is not AI.
Yeah.
There's no way that that's AI. I mean, unless we're all being lied to and then we're really...
in trouble. Yeah. Well, there is not 1 ounce of anything synthetic in anything that you do, which is aww, why personally you. I love it so much. I'm sure so many of our listeners will as well. Can we come see you anywhere, or what are your
yeah,
what are your
so socials? Notting Hill Arts Club, it happens every couple months, so look that up. It's called Lexi Berg Presents. Lexi Berg Presents also is, I'm taking you different places, so I just did Brighton for Alt Great Escape.
Awesome.
I'm doing another one at a gallery. So I guess, yeah, there's a but. I mean, I probably have 2 or 3 gigs a week at the moment.
Amazing.
I'm also playing Glastonbury at the Open Arms stage on Saturday at 1 p.m.
Amazing.
And I am playing other things this summer.
Amazing. Well, hopefully some of us will catch you at some of those shows, but if not yeah. you are all over your social media is Lexi Berg.
Yeah, and go sign up for the mailing list or find me on my WhatsApp broadcast list, because that's where I'm going to be posting most of the gig stuff from now on, because I feel like Instagram misses it a little bit.
All right, no worries.
Also, you can find me on TikTok Live, where I do live performances.
Awesome. Okay, plenty of places where people can track you down.
Yeah, Google me.
Google me. All right, well, thank you so much for coming in. Great
thank
chat.
Thank you so much.
The Alpha Sessions.